Action KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
for children.
Amen, amen.
Amen. I belong to God. Y'all don't know the impact that just singing in the children's choir can have on the children. Amen. My mind goes way back to the old Pleasant Hill on Nona Street. Amen. My mind goes back to a time when our choir director was Sister Argerine Smith. My mind goes back to a song that PB used to lead. Now, some of y'all don't know who PB is, but back at that time, amen, the person we know as Sister Bernadette Dutch Griffin, we called her PB. And PB used to sing a song that said, "A long, long time ago, my heart was troubled in sin. My head bowed down in sorrow. The devil had me wrapped in sin. Salvation, I had a hard time hesitation, but I kept on searching till I found thee." And then Peter would say this, "I kept on searching, kept on, I kept on searching till I found, I kept on searching, kept on searching, I kept on,
kept on searching till I found."
All right, all right. I just wanted y'all to know the impact. Now, that's been 20 years ago since I was a little kid. And I still remember the words to that song. Amen. God bless you, and may he bless you real good. Well, it's Father's Day. Ushers, you may be seated. I want to just say a few things about fathers, and we thank God, amen, for fathers. I said in the office to my deacons that it seems that a lot of the times fathers get the bad end of the stick. You know, mothers get flowers and all kind of nice gifts and attention and all of that. And a lot of times Father's Day, you know, if you get some socks or a tie, then you're doing good. Amen. But on this Father's Day, I want to first of all say I'm thankful for the memory of my father. I knew him. I called him Big Willie. Most folk called him Big Willie, Mr. Willie Garner. Amen. So I honor the memory of my father. And then I want to say to all of the, if you're a father, if you're a dad, raise your hand this morning. If you're a father, all right, come on, let's celebrate all of the fathers. God bless you, fathers. One of the greatest problems facing the family today is the absent or uninvolved father. And let me just suggest to you that you don't have to be outside of the home to be an absent father. You can actually be in the house and be an absent father if your time and your attention and your love, amen, is not felt by your spouse and by your children. So that is one of the greatest problems that we face today. There are so many young men and women walking around still looking for affirmation from the man who is supposed to be their father. And my brothers and sisters, when a child does not have the involvement of a father in his or her life, it leaves a void that can only be filled by the Holy Spirit. I want to personally congratulate and applaud the many hardworking single mothers. Good job. Amen. But while a woman can teach a boy a lot of things, there is one thing she cannot teach him. A woman simply cannot teach a boy how to be a man. Only a man can do that. No woman can model for a young girl what a husband ought to look like. It takes a man to do that. Amen. If fathers are going to make a difference in the lives of their children, they have to make their presence felt. And let me say this to mothers, the father's voice must be heard. The father's voice must be taken seriously. It is significant. Amen. It is important. Children must know the voice of their fathers. Amen. And fathers, you must be involved. You see, God spoke, the Bible says, and the world came into existence. Jesus is referred to as the Word who became flesh and lived among us. Now, I want you, if you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to stand. I'm gonna deal with three passages. We'll read them, and then we will receive a word from the Lord on this Sunday morning. If you have your Bibles or your secular phone, your smartphone, amen, turn with us, first of all, to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 11. Mark chapter 1 and verse 11, and if you don't have it, you can look to the screen. There, the word says, "And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Amen. Now turn to Matthew chapter 3, and we want to look at verses 16 and 17. Matthew chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17. And again, if you don't have it, you can read it on the screen. And Jesus, when he was, is that the right one? Amen. There we go. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And then verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then finally, Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, and it's on the screen. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I just want to talk for a few moments about a few things that are necessary if you're going to be a winning father. Amen. A winning father. A winning father. When a dad is involved, the children know he is present because he speaks to them. And when he speaks, he must speak words, number one, that communicate a sense of belonging, a sense of close relationship, words that send a clear message of approval. In our text, God makes it plain and clear who Jesus was. He says without hesitation, this is my beloved Son. And my brothers and sisters, these are words that move the heart of a child. These are words that put a smile on their face, be it a boy or a girl, because to hear words like these gives children a sense of belonging. Your children, amen, need to know that there is an attachment, amen. When we communicate words of approval and belonging to our children, that young boy no longer has to look to a gang leader to tell him who he is or that he's important. When your daughter knows that she belongs to her father and is an integral part of the family, she doesn't have to seek out for the approval of another man who may exploit her or use her or abuse her. Fathers, it is your responsibility to let your children know that they belong to you, that they are loved, and that they are wanted. If God the Father took the time out to speak words of approval and belonging to his divine Son, what about us? Amen. Hear it again. Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let me ask you, fathers, when was the last time your child heard you say something like that? When was the last time, even mothers, amen, when was the last time your child heard these words of approval and detachment? Amen. I'm pleased. I'm proud of you. Maybe you're here and you're seeking healing from a relationship with the father who ignored you or never recognized you as his beloved. I want to tell you there is healing in the name of Jesus. It's amazing. Some folk are 40, 50, 60 years old and still holding on to the hurt, amen, from a father or from a mother that didn't give them the love and the approval that they needed when they were children. You may need to forgive that father who never spoke words of approval and belonging to you, especially if there's a deep-seated hurt, anger, and unforgiveness that has taken root in your heart. You're bitter, and I've come to tell you this morning that there is forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may never have heard those words from your earthly father, but when you live right and walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh, God, who has promised to be a father to the fatherless, as a matter of fact, if you are obedient to his word, to his will, to his way, he's saying to you right now, you are my beloved son. You're my beloved daughter. You have his approval. So when a dad speaks, he needs to communicate, number one, words that convey a sense of belonging to his children. But then secondly, when a dad is involved, the words he speaks will convey to his children that they have value and worth. Amen. You ought to make your children feel like they are special. If children are going to know that they are important and have worth, those words must come from the father. Listen, it doesn't matter whether the father lives in or out of the house, he still needs to affirm his children. And let me say to some of the mothers, amen, baby mamas and all this stuff, amen, you need to allow that father, if he wants to responsibly interact with his child, you heard what I said, if he wants to responsibly and lovingly interact with his child, I see it too much, I hear it too much. Mamas who just because that brother doesn't want to have a relationship with them, they make it impossible for that father to have a relationship with his children. Shame on you. Amen. You may not need him, but I promise you those children need the love, the affirmation, the approval of their father. I ought to have at least one witness. Amen. I'm going to say like Reverend Cabot used to say years ago, it's tight, but it's right. Do you realize that a large percentage of the children today don't live in the same house as their fathers? But that shouldn't prevent them from interacting with their children and letting them know that they are loved. As a loving and concerned father, God knew that Jesus was living in a rough world. The Father was in heaven. Jesus was on earth. Amen. But he took the time. God, the Father, took the time out to let his son know, I love you. Fathers, you know what kind of world our children are living in? And if you don't take time out to affirm them with your love, the temptations and challenges will be too great for them to handle. Do I have a witness today? Amen. Thank you, God. It was just after God affirmed him as his beloved son that Satan tempted him. All three gospels said tempt. But it happened after God spoke the words of affirmation and approval. It was after God said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. It was after God, amen, let it be known that he loved his son and that he approved of him, that the devil raised up his ugly head. And I know I've got some witnesses here today who can testify that it's after, amen, you've had a win. It's after you've gotten some approval. It's after you've gotten some affirmation about your relationship with God that the devil will raise up his ugly head and try to trip you up. Do I have any witnesses? Amen. Don't you hear the devil saying to Jesus, right after God the Father affirmed him, the devil comes to Jesus and says, if you are the Son of God. Oh my, oh my. See, God was setting Jesus up for the tricks of the enemy. God already knew that the devil was going to try to get Jesus to doubt who he was and whose he was. And I'm looking at some folk today, amen, who've gotten into trouble, who've gotten into addictions, who've gotten into habits, who've gotten into relationships, who went looking for love in all the wrong places because you didn't have a father at home who affirmed that you are somebody, that you don't have to bow down, that you don't have to beg, that you are the head and not the tail, that you will be the lender and not the borrower. You need to put that kind of affirmation into your children's lives such that when the devil comes and said, just smoke a little of this, it'll make you feel better. That child can look the devil in the eye and say, get thee hence behind me, Satan. I don't need reefer to feel better. I don't need crack to feel better. All I got to do, I got a telephone in my bosom. The old folk used to say, dial up one for the Father and one for the Son and one for the Holy Ghost. And is there anybody here today who can say, I didn't get caught up because I knew who I was and I knew whose I was? Bless the name of God today. Many voices will compete for our children's attention. But if they have heard the voice of a loving father before, no other competing voices can throw them off course. Each time Jesus heard the other voice, he was able to refer to his relationship with his father. When fathers have a close, affirming relationship with their children will feel secure even when they find themselves in the desert being tempted by the devil. The affirming words spoken by a loving father will keep them out of trouble. Y'all need to hear me today. Speak words that convey to them that they have value and worth. Let them know that they are special. Amen. Thirdly, when a dad is involved, the words he speaks will create a deep sense of confidence, a display of confidence. It's like saying, I recognize how you're living your life and you're well on the way to fulfilling your purpose, and I'm well pleased with what I see. I love it. Amen. You ought to tell him, you make me proud. God is saying to Jesus as his son, Jesus, you're making me proud. If God had to say it, what about us? When children know that we have confidence in their ability, they will try even harder to make us proud, but the opposite is also true. When there is no confidence, then there is no motivation to try harder. You cripple your children when you don't express confidence in their ability to make decisions. I'm talking about even little children. Amen. You know, sometimes parents feel like they've got a lord over every action, every thought, everything that the child does. But you need to understand that in life, decision-making is a process. And you help them as children by allowing them to make some decisions on their own. Now, look, if it's a life-threatening decision, then yeah, you may need to intervene. But every now and then, you got to let that child, you already told them the stove is hot. Amen. And are you going to just stand over them with a belt every day? Hey, don't touch that. Don't touch. No, sometimes you need to just stand back. Okay, you big, you bad, go on and touch it. Amen. And I promise you, you won't have to tell them again. Do I have any witnesses today? Some children are crippled financially because you won't even let them handle their own money. Amen. You want to tell them how to spend it, how to manage it. Amen. Get out the way, let them fall. Come on, are there any folk in here who've been to drop bottom Hard Rock University? You had to learn the hard way. I know I have. Amen. So sometimes you have to give them the confidence to make their own decisions. Are you listening, Sister Moore? I hear you hollering, but are you listening? Amen. You've got to give them the confidence to make their own decisions. When we say good job, when we say well done, I'm proud of you, what we're doing in essence is showing and appreciating their God-given gifts and abilities. We're letting them know that we believe in them, and we're giving them the confidence to believe in themselves. Oh my, thank you, Lord. Kind and affirming words are tools. And I know in the black community, a lot of times we've been taught as men, you know, that you don't show love, you don't show affection, you don't speak kind words. Amen. But we got to get beyond that. Amen. We've got to model some things after communities that are having success. Amen. And thank God that we've had success in our families over the years through slavery, through trials, through troubles. But there are still some things we need to do. And men ought not be afraid to show love. You know, I'm one, I say it all the time, I don't believe men ought to cry. Amen. Amen. Men ought not cry. But I tell you, the other night at my house by myself in my bathroom, I went, got up in the middle of the night, amen, didn't want to turn on any lights because it seems like it keeps me awake, amen, and there was something in the floor that I didn't see. And when I tell you I fell back into the bathtub, and the only thing that saved me was I hadn't let the bath water out yet, and so water went everywhere. But thanks be to God, I didn't hit my head. I didn't hit my head because the water caught me. And I laid there for a second, bro, cut right, and I shed a little tear. Amen. I say men ought not to cry, but every now and then God will put you in a position, amen, where you have to cry sometimes. We've got to get over that. So fathers, get in the habit of blessing your children. I tell too much when I get up here. That's TMI. Amen. You can use words. Let me hear everybody say, you can use words to affirm them. Amen. For something they've done well. It may be church. It may be school. That's why when these children were singing, I wanted to stand and look them in the eye and give them positive affirmation to let them know that pastor is pleased. Amen. You're doing a good job. Amen. God is pleased in what you're doing. We've got to encourage our children. Because once you speak words over them, you can't take them back. I'm talking about whether they're good or bad. We need to get in the habit of speaking good words. And even when we must discipline them, balance it out with words that build them up, creating them a sense of confidence. And let me not go to my seat without saying this, the fourth point, and I'm done. When an involved father speaks, my brothers, you've got to challenge your children to do what is godly and to do what is right. Do I have a witness today? You're the ones who've got to pass on a spiritual foundation to them. Parents, you've got to challenge your children to walk in the straight and narrow way. You've got to challenge them to accept your faith, your beliefs, and your values as much as they line up with the word of Almighty God. You've got to challenge them by modeling godly behavior before them. You've got to challenge them to move to another level in their praise and worship of God. You've got to challenge them to live worthy of the calling in which we have been called. You've got to challenge them to become involved in the church and in the things that matter most to God. You've got to challenge them to cultivate a relationship with our Lord Jesus by loving the Lord with all their heart and loving their neighbors as they love themselves. You've got to challenge them to read the Bible. You've got to challenge them to have a little talk with Jesus. You've got to challenge them to accept Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. I hear a lot of parents saying, I'm not going to force church on my children the way my parents did me. But I would ask you, how did you turn out? Now, I know you went through some valleys and you went through some rivers and you went through some pitfalls, but you didn't turn out all that bad. And is there anybody here who is glad that your parents drug you to church? Is there anybody here that is glad that your mom or your dad taught you about faith in Jesus? Well, if we're going to do God